Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of our Talk is Cheap Giants and Jets podcast from NJ Advanced Media, the Star Ledger, and NJ.com. It is Tuesday, November the 28th in the morning here. The Giants on their bye week, the Jets coming off that ugly Black Friday loss to the Dolphins last week. Daryl Slater here. I'll be joined by Andy Vasquez, our Jets beat reporter, in a moment. So a lot to discuss here, big picture. In terms of the state of both franchises, but if you're wondering, the Giants now 6 in the draft order. They're 4-8. They've won 2 straight games. Tommy DeVito 2-0 the past 2 weeks with some major help from the Giants defense. We'll get to all the Wink Martindale drama as well. And so the Giants were 2nd in the draft order, going at 2-8 going into the Washington game. They won that game. Other teams around them lost. So the Giants then dropped to 5th. Obviously a huge game for draft position against the Patriots this past Sunday. The Giants obviously won that game. They are now 6, so they drop one spot. And the draft order right now is the Bears, who have the Panthers picked at 1-10, from the Panthers being 1-10. Arizona at 2-10, New England at 2-9, and then a drop-off. So it's going to be hard for the Giants to crack the top 3, which means probably no shot at Caleb Williams or Drake May. Right now, 4, 5, and 6 are all 4-8. Chicago, Washington, and the Giants losing the tiebreaker there, strength of schedule being the main tiebreaker. Chicago won last night on Monday night against the Vikings. And then that's where things get interesting from 7-10 right now in the draft order. Tampa, the Jets, the Chargers, and the Titans, all 4-7 from 7-10. And really, if you look at the strength of schedule, if the Giants are off this week, but if Tampa and the Jets both win, or one of them, they'll be 4-8. Obviously, you look at that strength of schedule, the Giants could be all the way down to 8th after this weekend, jumped by Tampa and or the Jets, depending on what happens with the Jets, Falcons, and then whoever Tampa plays. We can look that up. But Jets have lost 4 in a row. Giants have won 2 straight. Obviously, as we said last week, the Jets are not making the playoffs. And shocker, Tim Boyle wasn't a savior for the Jets. They haven't done really anything since they got that gifted win over the Giants. And so, Andy, with that, we bring in, how's it going, man?
Good. Haven't done anything. I mean, they've lost 4 straight. So now they've set up the possibility for the reverse 2022. They could win 6 straight and make the playoffs. So I don't know. Robert Saleh's 1-11 record after December 1st, like, shouldn't deter anybody from thinking that'll happen. So I'm doing good. How are you, Daryl?
Oh, man, the Jets' performance lately has been about as cringeworthy as someone paying $140 for a Christmas tree, which is what our good pal Connor Hughes did. Of course, he has to let you know that he must live in the Sistine Chapel with the ceilings of his house. He's got to have that 10-12 foot Fraser fir, 10-11, right? Right.
100. That was, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Very so specific, guess, very specific.
So I guess a 9-foot tree wouldn't have looked okay. It has to get that extra foot. Come on, right? $140 for a Christmas tree. Okay, come on. Like, even if you're getting the Fraser fir, which is the king of the Christmas tree, right? The best tree. I paid $75 at the Home Depot down the road. Like, what? I'm all for giving money to small businesses, but if it's a difference of that much, it's like, I'm sorry, Farmer Joe. I'm not paying north of $100 for a tree that's going to be curbside on January 2nd.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I have it's a moot point for me. I have a small apartment, so I've got a 3 foot Christmas tree that, you know, will go in a box in a few weeks. So that's where we're at here. But yeah, I mean, I'm with you. It's, you know, it must be nice. That's all, like, that's all I'm gonna say. It must be nice. Good for Connor though.
I
It
mean,
looks nice. He did a good job on the lights on his house, which
yeah,
I'm
bonus
sure.
points for doing the lights and not falling off of his house and winding up on IR. So good job there, Clark Griswold. So now the Giants and Jets, you know, we'll just avoid the Thanksgiving and Christmas metaphors as it pertains to how poorly or well they've played lately and the results of that. But look, I mean, Tommy DeVito is an interesting story. He's a nice story. He's not a long-term quarterback solution for the Giants. The fact that they won on Saturday was, you know, look, is it ultimately bad for their future? I don't know. I mean, we don't know. Caleb Williams and Drake May could both be busts. The Giants could wind up at number six. They could pick Bo Nix and he could be a Hall of Famer. We don't know. We don't know. But the bottom line is you just have fewer options when you're down lower in the draft. And they really have no shot now at a top three pick. I suppose anything could happen, but that's where they find themselves right now as they prepare, as they hit the bye week, and then they will have the December 11th Monday night game as of right now against the Packers. It looks like I don't think that'll get flexed. The Giants play the Packers Monday night, December 11th. The day prior would be Jets and Texans. And today on Tuesday, as we're talking now, would have to be that decision. I know a lot of you guys, obviously, that depends on your schedule and plans, but I think as of right now, it looks like things will stay as is because the Jets have struggled. A little shine has come off of them. The Giants have won a couple games. Packers Giants is an interesting primetime draw. But first, well, they're going to decide on that, flexing or not flexing today. And then the Jets will play what would you think would be a winnable game against the 5-6 Falcons. But look, I mean, like, newsflash, Tim Boyle is terrible. Okay. Wow. What a stunner. You know, like,
Yeah.
what do you make of where things stand with the Jets right now and their putrid offense and whatever maybe ramifications could come from where they're at in terms of a Rodgers return and then potential staff changes? Just break it all down for us.
Yeah, well, it's there's a lot going on. I mean, bottom line, the Jets didn't have a viable backup quarterback on the roster and essentially gave up on their season after Aaron Rodgers got hurt. I mean, that's just what it is. Because of the decisions they made, they seem to be content to just run it back again next year. Like, it's all going to be okay. That's their only problem. And you see their offense, like, their offense would have been functional with Aaron Rodgers, but all this talk about having a top offense, it feels ridiculous now. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Aaron Rodgers is the magic ticket at age 40, even next year. Actually, next week, he turns 40 on December 2nd. Maybe he'll come back for two games this year and look great in the quickest known recovery from an Achilles in NFL history. And maybe he'll be great next year and the Jets will be vindicated and right for just running it back another year with a defense, you know, that is going to be older and harder to, you know, get through a season without injury issues. But the fact of the matter is that their issues run deeper than just Rodgers. They don't have, and everybody wants to point at the offensive line. The offensive line is definitely a factor, but it's more complicated than that. It's they don't seem to have personnel who match their scheme. They don't really seem to have a scheme. I'm not sure exactly what the Hackett, Nathaniel Hackett offense looks like without Aaron Rodgers, because it hasn't been successful consistently, except for those years he was with Rodgers. So again, maybe that's the simple answer, is that Hackett and Rodgers together, with Rodgers basically doing what he wants in the line of scrimmage, is functional and what works. But the fact is, the Jets have been outscored 109 to 27 since the Giants game,
Wow.
in those four games, and it's just bad. And obviously, the offense gave up 7 of those points at the end of the first half. It's just brutal fashion, and it's really weird to be in a building and know as a play is happening, they're like, oh yeah, this is one of those moments that everyone's going to be talking about every time for the rest of your life when there's a game on Black Friday. What happened in the first Black Friday game? In a lot of ways, you know, it wasn't as humiliating because as the butt fumble, because nobody ran directly into another man's keister.
But it was worse because the Jets were still in this game and they had just gotten back-to-back interceptions, including a pick six from their defense, and the stadium was rocking, and they make the right call because you want your offense to be aggressive and you have a chance to press the issue and score points. And since 2006, when ESPN began tracking Hail Marys, no team in the NFL had ever returned one for a touchdown. So why not? And then it's, oh, that's why not, because this is what happens to the Jets. And I mean, that's a simplistic way of saying it. Like, it happens to a team that clearly wasn't prepared to run that play or hadn't thought through what happens on that play if the ball is thrown short of the end zone and it's intercepted. And we saw what happens. Javon Holland runs through the entire offense at that point, or defense, whatever you want to call the Jets offense at that point. The longest, I think he ran about 130 yards on the ground, which was the longest anyone has run on a single play in the NFL this season for next gen stats. And there you have it. It's a crazy touchdown that I really think will be replayed at the on the end of the season, highlight reels, low light reels, whatever you want to call it, and will be remembered fondly or not so fondly by Jets fans forever. So but it's perfectly apt and perfectly descriptive of what this team is and what this team stands for right now. It's they're not prepared, and you can see it through everything they do.
It's a laughing
And
stock
yeah,
moment. Yeah.
it's just not, it's not good enough. And the idea that, you know, it's just every excuse known to man, and they try not to, I guess they tried not to actually say the excuses, but it's clear, like, they believe that if they didn't have the offensive line injuries and if they had Rodgers, they would be completely fine. And I d disagree, and we'll all find out together, I guess. But yeah, I don't think it's when you have Garrett Wilson and you have Breece Hall, I don't think the fact that I don't think they've had a touchdown that start a touchdown drive of longer than one play that started in opposing territory since early October. So that's not acceptable. Something is broken, and it's not as simple as plugging Aaron Rodgers back in. And the question for job security, as I wrap this up, is how bad does it get over the next 6 weeks? Do the players actually mutiny? Because short of that, I think the Jets are content to, you know, go into next year with as management with the same guys, because these are the guys that brought in Rodgers, and they're going to hitch their wagon to Rodgers and ride it out. So I think it's definitely an interesting situation. It's probably not a good situation, and it has the potential to get real interesting in the coming weeks because of the possibility that the guys in the locker room have done a good job of hiding it, but I think they're getting fed up, and we'll see what the breaking point is.
And if you weren't watching the game on Friday, if you were out paying $140 for a Christmas tree or putting up your lights, and it was a beautiful Friday in New Jersey, I got a lot of stuff done here, paying a reasonable price for a tree, putting lights up, all that good stuff, doing yard work on Friday. So I did not watch a second of the Jet game. Later on, I went and saw the Hail Mary pick six, of course, the video on Twitter. But if you were watching it, if you weren't watching it live, you missed an amazing moment of what happened for those who were watching it live, right? So on Amazon or whatever, and you're watching it, just to feel it. So what happened? So the end of the half, right? So then what happened after that?
Well, the end of the half with that play, the Dolphins kicked the extra point. First, they cut to a sideline interview, which amazingly is Robert Saleh having to do, you know, halftime interviews. I feel like even on national games are pretty rare going to halftime where they talk to the coach. But Amazon, obviously, it was part of their deal. So it's Saleh, which had to be like, oh my God. And then they go to a commercial, and it's a Saleh commercial of him. Like a ridiculous commercial with like him looking over the play card, like side to side, and then like brushing his teeth. I think it was Colgate or something. It was just like you have to almost feel for the guy. It's so ridiculous. The timing was so ridiculous.
Amazing.
And for that to happen, that whole sequence of events, it just makes it even more like you can't write this. You can't make this stuff up. And that yet it happens to the Jets all the time. Like just this season alone, when you get the pick six, you know, the pick six, and then Rodgers on the fourth play of the season, and there's other things I'm forgetting. You know, the way they came back at that Giants game, it's always something. So yeah, that was it was ridiculous, and I think if it doesn't work out for Robert Saleh here, it's a sequence that will probably be remembered also for a long time.
I will. I mean, the man has a delightful set of chiclets. I mean, they're nice and shiny. So I'll give him credit for that. He may be a terrible head coach, but what a wonderful smile he has. So look, the Salah's Jets lost 34-13 to the Dolphins. Week before, 32-6 to the Bills. Prior, 16-12 to the Raiders, and 27-6 to the Chargers before that. So three just butt whoopings in those four losses since the Giant game. And then now coming up, Falcons, Texans, Dolphins for the Jets, the next 3 weeks before the supposed Aaron Rodgers return on Christmas Eve against the Commanders at home. Whatever, we'll see. You know, this is normally a winnable game against the Falcons, but we've been through all the reasons why the Jets perhaps, probably, maybe, definitely won't win it. And so as far as the Giants go, look, they have played well the last 2 weeks with a third string quarterback and a defense that has done a nice job against two bad teams, quarterbacked by Sam Howell and then Mac Jones / Bailey Zappi. So you're not getting, you know, any medals for that from anyone who has any reasonable sense of what's going on. And no, the Giants are not going to make if the Giants win out and make the playoffs and 9-8, I guess I'll think of some crazy thing I would do, whatever, but it's just not happening. Okay. So
eat your hat. You'd eat your hat.
Yeah. Or something like that. Right. Because they still have to play the Eagles once in a game that the Eagles will definitely be trying in. And then another game at the end of the season where the Eagles might be resting their starters. We'll see whether Tyrod Taylor, so the Giants coming up the last five games versus Packers at Saints at Eagles versus Rams versus Eagles to close the year. Will Tyrod Taylor be the quarterback coming off the bye? Will he be healthy enough? He's got a ribs injury. We'll see. He's eligible to come off IR coming off the bye in week 14 against the Packers. I don't see how you can bench Tommy DeVito, honestly. He's played reasonably well. There's some continuity there. Also, obviously the coaches want to win the games, right? So they're going to play whoever, but there's value, I think, in getting a look here at DeVito and seeing if he can be like a backup for you next year. I mean, the guy's not going to be a legit long-term starter in the NFL, but maybe he's made himself some money as a backup in the future. And could that be with the Giants? He's under contract next year. Tyrod Taylor is not. Tyrod Taylor is going to be 35 years old next August. So what he doesn't have a future with the Giants. Like what is the point of putting him back out there? Unless, of course, you know, Brian Daboll wants to win games and that's what coaches do. So I get that part of it. But Daboll would not commit to DeVito as the starter coming out of the bye. We'll see. He didn't commit to anything yesterday. He grunted and grumbled and was a grouch and a grinch throughout his whole press conference yesterday, largely for, you know, a reason we'll get to. But so there the Giants are. You know, they've got four wins. They've beaten 4-8. Washington was 4-8. They beat them twice. They beat Arizona's 2-10 once and needed, you know, the biggest comeback in franchise history to do it. And they beat the Patriots, who are 2-9 now. So that's what the Giants have done this year. They're still a bad team. They get a Packer team coming up at home, who is having this Packer record at hand here. The Packers, of course, 5-6, as everyone knows, been paying super close attention to the Packers this year. But, you know, they're trying to find their way with Jordan Love. But as you look at the Giants here, yeah, they're falling in the draft. Is it the end? Is that ultimately something that's going to cripple them? Maybe not. Joe Shane comes out yesterday in his bye-week press conference, says, Daniel Jones is a starter when he's healthy coming off the torn ACL. Of course he's going to say that. Jones is on the team next year. They can't get out of the contract until after next year. But Shane, of course, did not rule out potentially drafting a quarterback and doing it with a premium pick. And let's be honest, if you use a second-round pick on a quarterback, sorry, but like people are going to expect that guy to eventually succeed Daniel Jones. Okay. That's just how it works. He doesn't have to be the number two overall pick. But that's sort of how things are going to go, even if Jones is the starter in week one next year. But that obviously a long way away. We'll see if the Giants wind up regretting that win. And we're talking, you know, over the Patriots, we're talking about not the players and coaches in the Giants currently, right? These guys, they don't tank, right? The players and coaches don't tank, like obviously, but you're talking about the broader Giants franchise and their fan base. Will they regret, that win? In the more immediate sense, what the win did was kind of pour a little ice, or whatever the metaphor would be, on the pregame report from Jay Glazer from Fox Sports, who has He is almost always right, number one, and he knows the Giants very well. He has, you know, he has relationships with people in this market in terms of sources. And so the report comes out before the game that Brian Daboll and Wink Martindale's relationship is broken, a lot of tension, they're in a bad place, and that Martindale could be canned even during the season, after the season, or maybe during the season. And so, of course, everything unfolds as you'd expect. Daboll kind of squashes it. We have not talked to Wink Martindale since then and won't until the Packer week. The players back Wink Martindale. And then on Monday, yesterday, Brian Daboll doesn't rule out that he would fire Wink Martindale during the season. And I think that's more of a function of, and it would be idiotic to fire him during the season, quite frankly. I think that's more of a function of Daboll just not wanting to answer any questions definitively yesterday. He made a couple of fat jokes or whatever about them eating junk food together for the second time in 2 days, made the same joke Sunday and Monday. It's like, you come up with better material here, buddy.
Like somebody told them to say that.
Yeah. I mean, and coordinated. They're clearly feeding these lines to the players. I Dory Jackson defending Wink Martindale. And look, the defense has played well the last 2 weeks. The Giants defense has played well. You cannot fire Wink Martindale after what they've done. I know the Patriots and Commanders don't have a good quarterback, but Wink Martindale's defense played well the last 2 weeks. The week 2 weeks before, Cowboys, Raiders, not good. But the three before that, Jets, Commanders, Bills, pretty good. So in 5 of the last 7 games, the defense has kind of found themselves after the Dolphins gashed them up in week 5. Yes, the Cowboys crushed them and hung 640 yards on them. But and yes, Aiden O'Connell ran all over him in the first half, or the Raiders did in that game. So, but has Wink Martindale been perfect as a DC? No, he has not. He has not. Has he lived up to his reputation and you know, perhaps probably what he thinks about himself and how highly he thinks of himself? Quite frankly, no. But if you're Daboll, offensive-minded head coach, you need a strong DC. And you need someone to basically run that whole side of the operation. And going into next year, Daboll could find himself on the hot seat. What elite defensive assistant would want to come into that situation? I mean, to me, even if Daboll and Wink Martindale don't get along, it's a devil you know. Like, it's all about finding the best coaches. So if Daboll steps back and looks at this objectively, I just don't know how much sense it would make to fire Wink Martindale after the season, certainly during the season. But you see these relationships sour. I mean, Adam Gase, Greg Williams, right? A couple of years ago. These things happen.
Yeah. Yep, it does. I'm interested just because how much different is the post-game atmosphere if that kick goes in that should have gone in and the Patriots win? That's also interesting to me too, and maybe it's a completely different conversation. It's just like the Jets season is a completely different conversation if Daboll lets Tommy DeVito throw the ball in the second half, or Kayvon Thibodeau doesn't get that penalty, and the Jets are 3 and 8 now. Like, so it's just crazy how quickly or how fickle and how thin the I mean, everyone hates the phrase it's a game of inches, and that's not even apt here. But the point is, like, the margins are very thin, and it's a completely different conversation if a kicker makes a kick he should have made.
Yeah, and the game goes to overtime, and maybe the Giants lose in overtime, and that I mean, it's been that kind of year for the Patriots, and but also, you know, that kind of year for the Giants with Graham Gano missing the kick and Kayvon Thibodeau jumping off sides. You mentioned that. So the swings in the season, and you benefit from certain things and you don't benefit from others. Obviously, the Giants got super lucky last year. They benefited from more than they did not benefit from, I guess, in terms of the turns of fortune and luck. But obviously the schedule, their lackluster roster, injuries, lack of luck, all of that has caught up to them in a big way this year, which is why we're sitting here on November the 28th, both of us looking at really the future of these franchises, because as we did last week, where they're not going to be in the playoffs this year, barring a miracle for either team. And that's why, you know, you look at a game like Sunday, and yeah, it could be costly. If Caleb Williams or Drake May, either of those guys, goes on to become a star, and the Daniel Jones entering year 6 next year. Okay. Let's like take a step back and understand this. Even if he played out the year this year, okay, and did it in kind of mediocre or whatever fashion, that still would not rule out Joe Shane drafting his own quarterback next year. Okay. It's better to get ahead of the curve and draft a quarterback before you need one. Look, Jalen Hurts is a perfect example. And I know he went 53rd. No, he went in round 2, but that's a premium pick. Okay. So They still had Carson Wentz on the roster. They made a move, and it worked out. The quarterback scouting process is so inexact. I think I went over it last week about how not getting your top one or two choices isn't always the end of the world.
Unless you pick Christian Hackenberg.
Yeah, but I mean, he was a second-round pick. But I mean, even Sam Darnold was a bust at number three.
Yeah.
I mean, you take swings at the position. It makes sense to take swings. And Joe Shane was like, "Oh yeah, we'll have to address the quarterback because we don't really have a backup." Tyrod Taylor. Okay, well, that's different than saying like we're going to pick a quarterback high. And he was asked straight up yesterday. Okay, well, what about picking a quarterback in the top 10? And he said they're not going to shy away from it. We won't shy away from, you know, and he didn't say those words exactly. He did say we won't shy away from, but what came after that was, you know, drafting the best player available or at any position. Okay. But, you know, so obviously he's not going to rule anything out. It would be crazy. It would be silly.
If he did, it wouldn't preclude him from doing it.
It's not, guy's not under oath. You know, he's not, doesn't have his ears hooked up to a car battery. So, like that Chris Farley sketch on SNL. Remember when he went on the Japanese game show? Amazing. It gets the answer
those
wrong.
Those were the days.
Look it up if you haven't seen it. So we should do that. Yeah, there should be press conferences like that. Someone tells a lie, they get shocked.
That would be, I think the ratings would be good. Also.
Yeah. Yeah. Bring it on. I'm going to go watch that sketch after this. That's sort of where they're at. I just obviously they have a lot of needs. Their offensive line is stinks, and then Joe Shane yesterday wanting to pin. I get it. He's pinning a lot of the offensive line struggles on attrition. But excuse me, Joe, you drafted the number 7 overall pick last year, right tackle, a guy named Evan Neal. He's been terrible. Okay, I know he's been injured this season. He's missed 5 games with an ankle injury. We'll see when he comes back, but. When he's played, he's been absolutely atrocious. So that's a problem. Joe Shane drafted Josh Azudu last year in the 3rd round, has not produced, also has been injured, but that's part of it, you know? So these two lines, obviously both for both teams, as we said last week, a lot of work to do, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Jets have, theoretically, their line could be a lot better this week with Mekhi Becton, Dwayne Brown, and Wes Schweitzer all potentially coming back. So again, I think they have the depth. That's the one thing Joe Douglas has done better is build some depth to where it took. I mean, they're playing with guys you don't want out there the last couple of weeks, but it took, you know, injuries to the starters and backups at those positions for them to get to that point, for them to get to, you know, a sixth string guy basically at right guard. So it has been, you know, some bad luck and that, but they have the depth to where they won't be able to use the offensive line as an excuse this week. So again, because they have guys in there who are viable. And the question is for the future, because it's hard to see Mekhi Becton back here next year. And that means, like we talked about, you got to add at least a tackle and maybe an interior guy with, you know, Vera Tucker and Joe Tippmann and, you know, Lakin Tomlinson in the final year of his contract kind of as your foundation on the interior. So they've certainly got questions there. And Carter Warren has had some okay performances, his first two performances. I mean, he improved in terms of a pass blocking grade, but it's still down there in the 50s, in the low 50s, according to PFF in his first start on Sunday or on Friday. And after getting into the game on the Sunday previous in Buffalo, when Becton left in the first quarter. So, I mean, they like him and maybe he can develop into something. I think Max Mitchell, it hasn't gone well this year and maybe they'll move him inside. I think that's most likely for this week as a potential, unless Schweitzer is ready to play. We'll find out more on Wednesday in terms of all those guys' availability, but I don't think Max Mitchell as a long-term option other than as a backup at tackle is playing out now that we're well into his second year and we've seen what he can do. So, but yeah, they have questions on the line. And more importantly is what are they going to do in terms of a secondary weapon at receiver? Because Alan Lazard got benched, a healthy scratch. And that, you know, the 2 years, $22 million guaranteed on that deal is starting to look pretty bad. I mean, after the game,
tonight. Salah was asked about why he benched Lazard. He said, you know, he was trying to spark him and give him to play to his standard, and he hasn't played the standard. And said something you don't normally hear a coach say, which was, he's here for another year and a half. He signed a 4-year deal. Coaches don't usually openly acknowledge the amount of guaranteed money left on a deal. And it basically said, you know, I don't think it meant to come off this way, but it did come off this way. Which, like, we gotta deal with him we're stuck with him for another year and a half, because that's how bad he's been. And it's, you know, it's hard to believe that, you know, both Salah and, you know, I give Salah a lot of, you know, crap about his record in December and some of the decisions he's made and some of the things he says, but Joe Douglas's record is just as bad, actually potentially worse. It's getting to the level where it's almost, you know, McCagden-esque, and that's saying something. The only reason he's not really out of a job is that 2022 draft where he drafted, you know, four really good players in his first four picks. So yeah, it's the blame is to go around, and there's a lot of work to do. And I think the Jets think they're a lot closer than they are. And after saying the first, you know, 8 weeks of the season, we're close. We have seen the last four, they weren't close. And another great moment in the locker room the other day was after weeks of the offense saying they're close and not scoring touchdowns, Tyler Conklin was asked by someone if he felt the offense was close, and he looked them dead in the eye and said, "Is that a trick question?"
Amazing. So,
it's definitely interesting. It's definitely interesting right now, and it will be interesting next year too, because we'll get to see if Rodgers is healthy, what it looks like.
And we may get to see it sooner. So right now it's the 20th of November, and we only have a couple days left in the month, and Rodgers' 40th birthday is Saturday, the 2nd of December. The Jets are obviously not practicing Saturday. The thought was, you know, he could return by around the 2nd of December to practice. Okay, they're not practicing Saturday. They have a game Sunday. Next week potentially would be the week for him to come back to practice. So who is going to clear this? I mean, is Leo Spachemin from the doctor from 30 Rock going to clear him? As Brian Costello, our pal from the New York Post, said, is Dr. Pepper going to clear him? Good line from Brian. Is he going to get cleared? Will he be back at practice next week? And that would give him 3 weeks to practice before this supposed Christmas Eve return. What do you think of all that? If he does return, maybe you see a little bit more from someone like Lazard, whatever.
Yeah, there's varying degrees of this. Like, first of all, that's interesting. Like, because the Jets, you know, thought they were signing a guy who's been catching passes from Aaron Rodgers, and maybe Aaron Rodgers really does make guys around him that much better because of where he can place the ball. He's one of those guys who really is capable of placing the ball exactly where a receiver needs it. So that is an interesting factor in all of this. Like, in terms of Rodgers being cleared, to me, there's variations of being cleared. And the fact that we've seen him on the field at MetLife stepping into throws, it's not going to mean all that much if he's cleared to practice, because he's not cleared for contact. And that's ultimately the only thing that matters. So if he's cleared to practice even this week, it's going to be a huge story, and I'm telling you, it means nothing, because he's going to be doing the same thing he was doing on the field at MetLife, just in a practice setting and maybe individual drills, and maybe throwing to a receiver who's moving, and maybe in a three-step drop. So, I mean, it's remarkable that he's gotten to this point, but until, you know, he can go out there and defend himself and plant, and he has to be able to run and run away from people who are trying to tackle him and be able to accept some sort of load, that if somebody does exactly what happened in that game, whereas pull him to the ground and drag his leg. And then you go into the fact they're playing the December 24th game on the same turf where players have complained about and where he hurt and where he retweeted or liked to tweet right after he got hurt about, you know, switching all the fields to grass. I mean, there's just a bunch of factors here that make you question how all of this is going to work. But my main thing is until he's out there running 11-11 on drills, which we can't see at this point, and until he's having, you know, participating fully in a practice, it doesn't really matter And I'll believe it when I see it. I mean, I just can't believe that Rodgers or the Jets are going to take this risk, especially with their season over, of putting him out there and to hurt himself again with the idea like, oh, I mean, maybe the idea is he did it so quickly, he rehabbed so quickly, he can do it again and be ready for camp. I think that's absurd. He's 4 years old. It would be a massive setback if he did this, if this injury recurred. So there's so much to lose. It seems like not much to gain unless like they really are that, you know, worried about what other people think, that they want to prove going into the offseason that the offense could be functional with Rodgers for a game or two. I mean, I guess you could show that in these last two games, in those last four games at some point, but at what potential cost? And there's just so many different factors that, again, I will believe it when I see it. And the fact that he's cleared for practice, I mean, it's incredible and good for him and nice milestone, but until he's cleared to, you know, go back there, run around, take hits, avoid hits, it's a completely different game. It doesn't really mean anything. It's like OTAs versus a real game. It's not the same game.
Yeah, great points all. And, you know, Jets have a lot of things that happen to them and do a lot of things that don't make sense. So that, you know,
It's certainly all of it's possible. Everything is
that would
possible.
track.
I will say that.
That would try. And so look, but they're 4-7. They've lost four straight games. Their season is essentially over. They're not making the playoffs. Coming up, they got versus Falcons versus Texans at Dolphins. They are going to start Tim Boyle in those games, and they are likely going to lose all those games, right? I mean, let's be honest. And so that's 4-10 when Rodgers supposedly would be coming back for Christmas Eve versus Commanders, and then what, at Browns, at Patriots, at a on a 4-10 season with three games left. I just, whatever, okay, fine, more power to him if he does. You know, to put a little lipstick on the Nathaniel Hackett pig, I guess. But so more immediate, we'll see, right? So you think there's a chance he come, they'll the Jets practice tomorrow, the 29th of November. You think
Yeah.
he'd be out there practicing?
I think they could list him as a limited participant and he could participate in individual drills. Like, how is that much different than what we've seen him do at MetLife before
Exactly.
games or in Vegas? So I don't like everybody's going to make it. And we might find out that out today because Rodgers does what he wants and he's going on McAfee and he could
Propaganda
say
show.
that. Yeah. So he could just say it. And then all of a sudden it's going to be this huge story and it means nothing. I'm not even trying to rain on the guy's parade. It just isn't meaningful. It's not really that newsworthy, and I'll write a story about it. But I'm just it's, and I'll say that. But that's just, you know, what it is. And I mean, I guess there's a chance, you know, he could plant wrong and hurt himself doing that. But it's relatively low risk, and I'm sure it's in line with what he's doing. And it's not too, again, it is remarkable the progress that he's made. And like we're less than the we're still like 2 weeks short of 3 months from when he tore it, and for him to be out there moving like this, for him to be moving the way he was 6 weeks, it's all that's cool and impressive.
No doubt. And
But
but would they put him behind this line? We talked so much about this
all
line
that, yeah.
and their issues. That's another consideration.
Yeah, we've seen how, you know, for all of the bad things that Zach Wilson put on display, he wasn't getting sacked consistently at the rate that Tim Boyle is getting sacked. It's because Zach can move and Tim can't. And Aaron Rodgers can't, especially now, won't be able to move anywhere like the way Zach Wilson can move. So he's going to get sacked a ton. And again, when there's a scenario where he could be a lot closer to what he was in terms of movement in the pocket in next September compared to what he's going to be in December, if his rehab has progressed this quickly, this far, like what's to, there's no reason to think that Aaron Rodgers can't be back to what he was health-wise before the injury in next September. But I think anybody, even Rodgers, would acknowledge that he wouldn't be back at where he was in September in December on December 24th. So that's kind of my point is like what why not just get him back to where he was rather than put this, you know, less I'm sure significantly less mobile version. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he is, but he said he wouldn't be 100% like in terms of movement if he were able to get back that fast. So
Yeah, and you could understand him
that's
coming
part of it.
back
So
if the playoffs were a consideration, but they're not going to be a 4-10 like right now. Okay, yes, they are technically still in the playoff race at 4-7. Once they get to 9 losses, it's over. Okay, and they could even be at 10 losses before he comes back. And quite frankly, you know, even at not even at 8 losses, they could be out of it. But certainly at 9 or 10 losses, they are out of it. And, but I mean, let's be honest, they're out of it now. But in the more immediate, right? So we started at the top with some draft stuff. Just kind of looking at the schedule here for this week in terms of how the area around the Giants and Jets could play out in terms of draft position. I know Jet fans aren't totally there yet. I know there's some delusional Giant fans who wants to, you know, even people who are in the realm of not being fans and who follow the team, if you are on board with this playoff pipe dream. The Giants are 6-4-8, and I don't, you know, the Tampa's not losing this week because they play Carolina, and Carolina just fired Frank Reich, and Carolina's awful. So Tampa's at 7. They're not losing this week. The Jets are at 8. Let's say they lose to the Vikings. That puts the Jets at 4-8 with a weaker strength of schedule. So you could be looking at Jets 6, Giants 7 coming out of this weekend. And then below that, Tampa-ish, or maybe Tampa will fall even further, but the Chargers and the Titans are 4-7. But the strength of schedule is such that even if 4-8 for Chargers, Titans, it doesn't look like they would pass the Giants. But the Jets could, with a loss, go from 8-6, presuming Tampa wins, with Giants going 6-7, if that makes sense. So there you go. So the Giants will have fallen from 2nd to 7th over a 3-week span in which they went 2-0. So if you're thinking quarterback, it's certainly the Caleb Williams, Drake May train has left the station probably. And now it's probably, you know, Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix. We'll see. So, but we'll close it out with, so only one game this week to pick, no Giant game. How do you see Falcons Jets unfolding in that scintillating matchup?
Yeah, I see. I don't see the Jets scoring a lot of points, which is not exactly going on a limb. It's, you know, with the Falcons getting Bijan rolling last week, I think, you know, there's a reason they're favorites, even though they've lost, you know, 4 of their last 6. So I like the Falcons 20-7. You know, I'll give the Jets 11. I think the Jets, you know, maybe mix in a couple field goals there and a missed extra point. So something like that.
How many? You got 20-0 for the Falcons or 22?
Okay, let me.
How many points?
You know, I don't know why you caught me off guard. I know this is coming at the end of every episode. I just haven't thought about my pick this week. Let's just reset that real quick.
No one's gonna.
Yeah, I think 20-2. I don't like 11. I think 20-12. 20-12 in the final.
So yeah. An offensive explosion for the Jets. The Falcons are 13th in PFF's defensive rating, so they have a okay enough defense. But as you mentioned, they've been struggling lately overall in terms of hitting the skids a bit. I'll say Falcons 17, Jets 3. There you go.
That's so fair. That's fair.
All right, we'll wrap it up there. Everyone, appreciate you listening. Hope everybody have a nice Thanksgiving. Hope everybody got their lights up without falling off their roof and didn't get ripped off on a Christmas tree. So please be sure to rate, review, like, subscribe, all that stuff on all your favorite podcasting platforms. And you can find us at nj.com/Giants, nj.com/Jets. Appreciate everybody listening, as always. And we will be back with you next week with the Giants coming off the bye and the Jets coming off what probably will be another loss. And we'll see how ugly it is. And we'll see if there's anything more completely wild, like a Hail Mary touchdown or any funny commercials that follow it. So, all right. Thanks, everybody. We will talk to you soon.